that just goes to show that it does take a long time to prepare for battle. And to sing specials. Ought to be choked up. This is the first time I've had the opportunity to introduce our speaker, Adam. And all morning, I've been contemplating the little boy I saw grow up. And I had a lot of humorous things. That's why I'm surprised that I'm getting choked up about it. But it's the nice thing about the church and our family. You know, we're all aunts and uncles, grandma and granddads, brothers and sisters. And to see our young ones put on a special and sing and know that one day they're going to grow up to be righteous individuals, people with a desire to serve, desire to testify. And I saw Adam go through those steps. Spent a long time in his home when they were little. Had a lot of fun teasing, a lot of fun laughing when being teased back, and watching a young man grow into a righteous man. So I'll give you our speaker of the hour, Brother Adam.
Thank you, Jim. I have a hard time following those kids. I don't have anything shiny to keep your attention. I have a few memories of Jim when I was a kid. Probably the most prevalent in my mind is I really didn't like him. Only because I can remember one time he was babysitting me, and he made me eat. I don't know what it was, Jim. I don't know if it was oatmeal or what it was, but there wasn't any sugar, there wasn't any honey, there was nothing to put into it, and he made me eat it. And I did not like him from that day on. But I love him now. I had spent this week preparing for a sermon, and I had a sermon ready. I didn't have it finished. I worked late on Friday night and had to get up early and worked a very hot football game all yesterday until late into the night, and sat down to prepare my sermon, and I already had a direction that I was going to go, and it would have gone very well with what these little kids just put together. But as I knelt in prayer and I prayed, the Lord placed something else in my mind. And actually, this subject that I'm going to preach on this morning, the Lord placed on my heart maybe 2 or 3 days ago. Well, probably it would have been Friday night. As I was working a shift late into the night, I was working very hard in my car, fiddling around on the internet while we were doing our surveillance, and I was talking to someone over my new addiction, Facebook. We had a conversation, and some things were said that spurred my mind to think about humility. As I laid down that night, and it was getting close to the morning, I had a dream, and I'm not going to go deeply into this dream, but I will tell you that in this dream I was sitting in church, and there was a minister up at the pulpit here preaching, and everybody in the service wasn't paying attention. They were arguing, they were distressed, they were concerned. And I looked around and I thought, what is going on here? And in that instant my mind went blank and a scripture was placed before me. And I knew the scripture very well, I knew exactly where it was, and we'll read it a little bit later. But as I contemplated that throughout this weekend, and then as last night I knelt in prayer, the Lord specifically told me what I should preach about. And so I desire to present to you something that I feel is very important for us, and I would ask for your attention, and that you would think about what the Lord has given me to present to you. You know, I know I'm not the only one who would make this statement, that we desire to be led by the Lord in our life. We each have a I feel we're here because we know that the Lord has a direction and has a plan for each one of us. He has created us in His wisdom for a purpose. He knows everything that's going to go on in our life. He sees our struggles. He knows our fears. He knows those things that He wants for us, and He knows those things that we want. Of course, we know that as we desire to do the Lord's will, as we desire to be led by the Lord, sometimes we don't feel like we're being told. We don't feel like we're receiving the message from the Lord that we want. We're asking for answers we're not receiving. Of course, the Lord's got a plan of His own, but I don't think that I'm out of line when I say that when we're willing to do things the Lord's way, He is quick to make His plan known unto us. And perhaps you find yourself in this position here today. Perhaps you're sitting here and there is something going on in your life. There is a decision, there is a direction, there is something that you want to know of the Lord. And perhaps you have found yourself seeking Him. And that's good. You've done the first step. That first step is acknowledging that we have to go to the Lord for our answers in life. You know, in the 37th Psalm, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're directed. They're placed into a purpose, into a path. They're put in a special order by the Lord. He's the one who directs those things. And He delighteth in His way. The Lord delighteth. He takes great pleasure in the direction He wants to lead you. He will lead you to life. Though he fall, speaking of us, though we fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This is a promise to each of us. If we desire to walk in the Lord's way, we need to acknowledge, first of all, that He hasn't ordered all things, an order for each one of our lives. You probably already know that. I didn't read any new scripture just now, and I haven't said anything new. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, you know, Adam, I realize that, but I still am not receiving what I want from the Lord. As I was having this conversation the other night, the Lord placed something in my mind, and I'm going to read to you what I wrote, and it's the thought that has been in my mind. And it's talking about receiving things from the Lord, how we have to be open to His leading. And it says, openness to God's leading can only come through humility. Humility can only come through submission. And submission can only come through adherence to God's word. There is no other way. That's what I'm going to preach on today. I'm going to preach on this. Humility, submission, adherence. It's how we're led by the Lord. And I hope to build this, and I hope to make an impact with this sermon, perhaps the same impact to you that the Lord gave to me. As is typical with me and my sermons, I have some definitions here, and I wanted to first read to you what humble means. Humble is to have a feeling of insignificance, inferiority, subservience, not proud or arrogant, unpretentious, conscious of one's failings. That's an interesting word to think about. When I thought about this, I thought about insignificance. The Lord wants me to feel insignificant. Wants me to be humble. You know, at first I almost found that offensive. Well, He wants me to feel like I'm nothing. But I thought about it. So that, you know, to feel insignificant before the Lord doesn't mean that we're worthless. Doesn't mean that we're good for nothing. It doesn't mean that we're so small that we can't be seen. But rather, you know, we need to realize that we are created by such a gigantic, huge, awesome, powerful being, capable of all things. Yet He's willing to stoop down and look into our life. He was willing to create us. For all of His power and all of His glory, you were important enough for Him to create. Oh, you're insignificant in terms of His power, but you're not insignificant to Him. We know that we were important enough for Christ to die for. That's not insignificant. But when we look at ourselves and how we line up to the Lord, we should feel this. I am not the Lord. I'm inferior to Him. It says, conscious of one's failings. To be humble is to be conscious of your failings. The Lord desires that you are conscious of where you aren't stacking up. The fact that we come before the Lord to ask His guidance and His direction, should be our acknowledgement that we are aware of our failing. I find that in my life and throughout my life, I have been very successful. I'm not trying to brag, but I'll make the statement that I've been good at almost everything I've done. Things have come easy to me. I did well in school. I did well in sports. I've done well in my jobs. I've done all these things. I find that I do not do so well with the Lord. This is hard for me. It's difficult. I struggle. The Lord desires that we become conscious of our failings. When we desire to do something and to walk a right path in our life, we need to be conscious of these things. That regardless of what all comes easy to us, that we have failings. We have weaknesses. And those are what we come to the Lord for. Before I continue on in that vein, I just wanted to read this quickly. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone that is called by my name." Isaiah's talking. You know what? Why don't we turn to it so I can run into that so it'll make a little bit more sense. This is just talking real quickly about the fact that we are significant to the Lord. We're nothing before Him. However, we were important to Him. And He tells us here why. Why we're important to Him. Isaiah 43. Let's start in verse. We'll read 4. Starting in verse 4, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. I will gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth." The Lord's saying, this is how I care for you. You're precious in my sight. I will bring you unto me. I will direct your life to me. You are important to me. Verse 7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him." We've been created to glorify the Lord. We are a glory to him when we walk with him. And so, back on this topic of humility and this word insignificant, you know, it's not that we're worthless. We're here for a purpose, to bring glory to God. And yet it's important, and we find this especially throughout the Book of Mormon, this resounding topic of humility. And it's something that obviously man fails at, which is why it's mentioned so often. But I want to turn to Ether in the 5th chapter, and let's read a scripture here. Page 748. Here on page 748, Moroni is taking some time out from his abridgment of the writings of the Jaredites, and he is kind of lamenting the fact that, you know, he doesn't feel very able to do this. He's concerned that the people in the latter days aren't going to understand what's being written. They're gonna mock it. They're gonna bring issue with it. And the Lord, in verse 27, it says, "And when I said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. My grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. If men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. And I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble." That failing, that humility is, being conscious of it. "I give men weakness, that they may be humble. My grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." We have weakness to be humble. The Lord has made it so I don't understand Him, so I don't feel like I do it myself. I spent a minute there talking about some of the successes in my life, and you know, what does that bring? Well, that breeds pride, and I suffer from it. Yet the Lord has called me to be humble, to feel insignificant. The Lord is not able to talk to someone. He is not able to lead someone who feels like they are above Him, who feels like they know better than Him. The Lord is not able to direct someone who is so caught up in themselves that they are not willing to listen. It's important that we think about that, that we are called not to be proud or arrogant, to think that we can accomplish things on our own, but to be aware of our failings, but to feel insignificant before the Lord. You know, when we're talking about understanding and hearing the Lord, are we not hearing Him because we can't get past ourselves? Do we feel like we already have an answer and we're going through the motions just asking the Lord? Turn to 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, and this is the scripture that the Lord gave me in my dream. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to read the 5th verse as well. I immediately knew what it was because this is my favorite scripture in the Bible. And I have read this in times of trouble. I have read this when I desired to have the Lord direct me. I have read this to others to hope that it would give them strength. And it says this, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject unto one another and be clothed with humility, with that feeling of insignificance. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Grace is favor. God has no desire to deal with your pride. What I have accomplished in my life does not impress the Lord unless I give Him the glory for it. If I walk through this life feeling that I have accomplished anything, the Lord resists me. And yet, if we humble ourselves, if we become aware of our place before the Lord, aware of our failings, it says the Lord giveth grace to the humble. Grace is favor. He gives favor to the humble. And then he goes on to say this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I know there are people sitting in here right now who desire the Lord to give them guidance for their life, who stand at a crossroads in their life and they are praying diligently. This sermon is for you. This scripture is for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. He'll lift you up. He'll bring you to a new level, to a new place, somewhere where you haven't been. In due time. Casting all your care upon Him. You know, what matters to us matters to the Lord. I want you to understand that there's nothing that goes on in your life that is not important to the Lord. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to Him. Why? For He careth for you. You are important to Him. Insignificant before Him and yet so important that He stooped down to see you, to create you, to guide you. This is the scripture that was given to me. And I feel that the reason is because the Lord sees the need for us to be called to humility. That we desire things from the Lord, and yet we are not a humble people. Humility comes through submission. Turn to Mosiah in the 1st chapter, and most of you could probably quote this scripture off the top of your head. Page 218. This is Mosiah in the 1st chapter. We're going to read 2 verses. 119 says, for the natural man, this person that I am, this person that I am that is not led by God, when I don't place myself before Him and allow myself to be led by Him, to humble myself before Him, the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. Verse 120 says, but if you look in your scripture right there, you see that little tiny A next to that word but. And you look over there, and it says the word unless. You know, once upon a time when I was reading this scripture, I read through it and I thought, this is kind of an odd run-on sentence that I don't feel like comes to an end. And yet when we think about it like this, we use that word unless. The natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever unless he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We are an enemy to God unless we yield to the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and become a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things that the Lord seeth to inflict upon him, even as the child doth submit to his father. We are an enemy to God unless we yield to him. If we don't give ourselves over to him, we are fighting against him. If we are walking in our own way, if we are finding ourselves saying that I know better, if you listen to the sermons that are preached and you say, well, it's good what Brother Adam said there, and yet, you know, I just don't think that matters. If we are not yielding to the Spirit, we are an enemy to God. If you read the back of the book here in the Bible, you see what happens to the enemies of God. Not a pleasant thing. It's not easy to yield. Yield is to give way, to surrender, to grant or to allow, to give up, as to a superior power or authority. Not a more superior power or authority ever created than the Lord. And we are to yield, to give way to those enticings, to listen, to hear. Did you come here today to listen, to hear, to yield to what the Lord wants? There's a whole sermon, and actually I'm sort of preaching it, in just this one verse in 120. It says, talking of becoming as a little child, submissive and meek. You know, meekness, I heard my brother Bob one time define meekness as strength under control. Having the ability to do something, and yet not. You know, we have the ability to do whatever we want. The Lord has given us that right. And yet, when we become meek, submissive, we give up that will. We yield. We give over. Are you yielding yourself to the Lord? When you kneel down in prayer and you ask for something, do you already have an answer in your mind? Are you open to what he has to tell you? Openness comes through humility. Humility can only come through submission. Giving in. Understanding that there is something better and someone better. To submit is to, similar to the word yield, to yield oneself to power or authority, to allow oneself to be subjected to some kind of treatment. Submitting to the Lord doesn't mean we're going to get what we want. Just because I had to say to the Lord, you know what? I'm going to submit my will to you. I'm going to give it up. Whatever you want, I'm going to do it. Where you want me to go, I'm going to go. Steps you want me to take, I'm going to take. That doesn't mean that we're going to walk in the nicest paths. Doesn't mean we're going to go to the nicest places. But we read this here, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, what the Lord places before us here is for a purpose. When we yield ourselves to him, we endure. There's a far more exceeding glory in it for us. There is a purpose in all that the Lord has done. Let's read about submitting. Let's go to Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. Let's see the example that's set before us. And what greater example than the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. In Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, we hear here the prophecy given by Isaiah of what our Savior is going to have. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Starting to talk here about Christ. That he came, and his path was not the most comfortable. It was not the most pleasant. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He is taken from prison, prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know, Christ didn't come here to live a life of pleasure and peace. He was hated, despised. His father gave him a very difficult road to hoe. It was not easy for the Lord. Yet we see this, and we see it written through the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that Christ continually said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Whatever he wants me to do, I will do. He submitted himself, even when it was difficult. Turn to Matthew in the 26th chapter. Read about this difficulty. And we see that Christ, even Christ, who created us, yielded himself, submitted himself to the power and authority of another, of his Father. 36th verse of chapter 26 in Matthew. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, Sit here, and I go pray, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You jump on to verse 42, we see that in that meantime he had gone back after he's poured out his soul to his Father and said, I don't want to do this. This is difficult. Let it pass from me, if you will. But only if you will. He went back and saw the disciples were asleep, and he went again away a second time and prayed. In verse 42, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Of course, we know the story. He was taken. He was beaten. He was crucified. In Luke, though, we see the answer that the Lord gave him. He didn't take it from him. His Father didn't take it from him. He sent an angel to minister to him. When we submit ourselves to the Lord, when we approach him in humility because of our submission to him, realizing that there is one above us, the Lord will strengthen us, even in those difficulties. The decisions you face may not lead you in a completely comfortable path. And yet we must know that if the Lord is leading us, and if we are adhering to him, that he will strengthen us to do it. You know, he says in here, it says, Thy will be done. And I want you to know that this wasn't an empty statement. This wasn't just some words that Christ said. His entire life, his entire time on this earth, he submitted himself to the will of his Father. In 3 Nephi, in chapter 5, verse 12, he says to the people, I am the light and the life of this world, and I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me. And I have glorified the Father and taken upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. The Lord gave him that cup to drink, gave him that purpose to fulfill. It says he suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. What his Father wanted him to do, he did from the beginning. We are called to be as Christ, to submit ourselves to every ordinance of the Lord. We are humble when we are submissive. I want to read in, turn to Philippians in the second chapter. We'll read a couple verses here. Continuing to speak about Christ, who really is this perfect example of humility and submission. Philippians in the second chapter, we'll read starting in verse 5. It says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. We need to have that same mind in us. You know, Christ could have done anything. We know that when he was in the garden that they came to take him, and Peter went and he lopped the ear off of one coming to take him. And Christ said, don't you know I could call 10 legions of angels? I could do it if I wanted to. But he made himself submissive to the Lord, but thought, made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. God also highly exalted him. I want you to know that if we are willing to humble ourselves before the Lord, if we are submissive to him, the Lord will exalt us. He will lift us up to a level that we haven't been. We're not going to be equal with God. You may not be an apostle. You may not have riches. You may not get to travel the world. The Lord will lift you up to something. Something you would have never imagined. I think about that in my life, and I've told you guys this numerous times. Where my life is now and where I had it planned to be is opposite directions. As I was talking the other night, we were talking about who the Lord had planned for us to marry. And I can remember when I was 20-something years old, I would have never thought of my wife. I would have never considered Rebecca. She's older than me. She was successful in her life, and I wasn't. She had her life together, and I didn't. And yet, when I put this into action, when I humbled myself before the Lord, did he ever exalt me? And he will continue to do so long as I glorify him. The Lord will lift us up, bring us to a higher rank. This is the definition of exalt, to raise in rank, in honor, power, character, in quality. Remember, the Lord said that we're created for his glory. He will give us opportunity to glorify him when we place ourselves submissively before him. Submission, brothers and sisters, only comes through adherence to the commandments of God. It only comes through following the word of the Lord. A couple years ago, our brother Don gave us a scripture that he said we should memorize. Can anybody tell me what it is? He who is righteous is favored of God. Anybody tell me where it's at? I didn't want to use my concordance last night, and I knew it was going to be on the left page, so I flipped through, and I started way too far in the Book of Mormon to find it. 1 Nephi chapter 5, verse 122. He that is righteous is favored of God. Righteous is being characterized, proceeding from, or in accordance with accepted standards. Righteousness is walking hand in hand with accepted standards, and those are the Lord's standards. That's what righteousness is. We are righteous, and we will be favored, given grace, when we walk in accordance with the standards that the Lord has given us. Turn with me to the 34th Psalm. And we will read We'll start in 12th verse, 34th Psalm. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? David says, who doesn't want to have a good life and have many days and see good things? And he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. righteousness. It says here that the Lord, that his eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. That ought to give you something to think about if you find yourself feeling like you've been pouring your life out to the Lord and asking him for guidance, and yet you feel like you're not getting an answer. How's your life? How do you stack up against this acceptable standard of righteousness? It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord has a way to get you out of whatever you're in. He has a way to direct you in whatever place you're in your life. Whatever you find yourself facing right now, the Lord can deliver you from it. But there is a method. There is a way. Christ says this in 3 Nephi 6:33, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, we can't expect the Lord to pour out everything that we've ever wanted, all the blessings on earth before us, if we're not willing to do his will. If we're not willing to follow the commandments that are given us. What is the Lord's will? What is it? 3 Nephi, turn with me. 3 Nephi chapter 5. We'll hear what Christ says the will of the Father is here. Page 636. Verse 66, and behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that you shall believe in me, that you shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, you have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except you shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that calls Lord, Lord is going to make it. Those who keep the commandments. Submission to God is not being forced, but to choose, even though we're free to choose. How often lately, brothers and sisters, have we heard the first chapter of Romans preached out of? At least two sermons last week. I've been a minister for going on 3 years, and I bet I've used it 3 or 4 times. Are we listening? Are we adhering to the commandments of the Lord? I'm not going to read through all of it, but in the first chapter of Romans, you know, the Lord lays down through his servant all these things that he despises, all these things that he cannot and will not accept. Read it on your own and contemplate it. But then in verse 32 it says, speaking of these things, and this was pounded on last week, and I hope you listened, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, is it important what we do in our life? Is it important what we take in? Is it important what things we find entertainment in? Humility, you know, being led by the Lord, having openness to hear his voice, comes through humility. And humility comes through submission. And submission comes through adhering to the commandments. I don't doubt that until the day the Lord comes or I'm called home, that I'll continue preaching the same things to get yourself away from sin. And yet, it sure has been pounded into us lately, hasn't it? Are we listening? I was saddened the other day when I heard of a member of our church who was making comments about a movie that they had watched that they thought was a great movie. I'd never heard of it, so we don't have a TV. I'd never heard of it, so I went to a website that Rebecca and I will use sometimes to see if a movie, if we're going to rent it or something like that, if it's worth it. It's called Plugged In. And I looked at this movie, and it broke down. It breaks down everything. Curse words that are in it, sexual conduct that's in it, things like that. I was ashamed. As a minister, I felt, have I failed? Why are we not listening? Why do we accept those things that aren't right? And why are we surprised when we call upon the Lord and we feel like we're not being answered, and yet we subject ourselves to filth? Has it not been preached to us? What glory is it for the Lord? The Lord created us for His glory. There's no glory in these things. Are we listening? Are you listening to the Lord? I believe that He is constantly desiring to speak to us. I believe that the Lord constantly desires to direct us and guide us. You know, one of our brothers has asked that we make it a matter of prayer, that we better understand the Scriptures. I believe that the Lord wants to make things very plain to us, and yet I find that in this local, I feel we struggle. We can't hear because we are not humble. We are not humble because we do not submit to the Lord. And yet what He has for us is so wonderful and so amazing that He will exalt us, lift us up to something where we have not been. Let's turn to the book of James. Another verse of Scripture that you all can probably recite from memory. And I hope that it's not just some words that you put to memory, but something that you think about and that you ponder. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you don't know, if you don't know, if you can't understand, if you need guidance, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, the Lord will give to you direction and guidance. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. I find myself saying it to the youth. The Lord doesn't desire, He doesn't take any pleasure in your struggles. He takes no pleasure in confusion. He takes no pleasure in watching you feel like you're at a crossroads in your life and you can't figure it out. He has no pleasure in that. But rather, He wants to give you wisdom. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you come before the Lord, if you are asking for His guidance in your life, if you have already got an answer in your mind, if you are unwilling to accept what He wants to give you, you are double-minded, you are unstable. If any part of our will is in us, we will not be successful unless our will is to do what the Lord wants. For years, we've had a disagreement in our church when it comes to sacrament. And you know, this is what it is right here. We lack wisdom on these things. There is an answer. I don't know what it is. I would not pretend to, but I know that if we are not asking, if when we ask we are wavering, if we are asking and we already have an answer in our mind, we will not receive anything of the Lord. We've been told that. I can attest to that in my life, that there were times when I approached the Lord and I wanted something. I really wanted Him to direct me, but I wanted the direction He was going to tell me to go to be what I wanted. And you know, it wasn't. I got nowhere. The Lord can't work with that. He can work with my feeling of insignificance, that He is above me and He has a greater plan for me and my submission to Him. My question here is, can you put this to use in your life? As a local, can we put this to use in our local? Do we have a need to be more humble? I hope you're in your mind saying, absolutely. I know I do. we have a need to submit to the things of the Lord, to do what he asks us to adhere and follow his commandments. I believe that God is constantly desiring to speak with us, but we get in our own way. I want to turn to just the beginning here of the fifth chapter of third book of Nephi, and I've read this before, and you know, the more I read just this little blurb here, and the way that I think of it, the way that I feel like the Lord has made this scripture work in my mind and its use, every time I read it, I think about it more and more and its significance. And in the fifth chapter of 3rd Nephi, we see that in the fourth chapter that all these destructions had come upon the land. Christ had been crucified, and there was great destruction everywhere. And the people who were left were the people who were righteous. And we find that they are gathered around the temple in the land of Bountiful, and they're talking to each other, and they're looking around, and they're seeing all these things that had happened, and they're telling their stories, realizing that this was the sign that had been given that Christ had died and be resurrected. And it says in verse 4, "It came to pass while they were thus conversing with each other that they heard a voice, as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. It did pierce them to their very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and they did open their ears to hear it. And their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven from whence the sound came. Behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto him, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him." What is getting in our way of hearing what the Lord has to tell us? These people here, we find that they were righteous, good people. They were spared. And yet they were so concerned in talking about the things that were going on that they had trouble hearing. Do we find ourselves like that in our life? We have so much going on that we can't hear the Lord, even if he wants to speak to us? Or is it because we haven't gone through these simple steps? Humility, submission, adherence. That's the example that Christ gave us. He humbled himself before his Father. He submitted to the will of his Father in everything that he asked him to do. He followed his commandments. And so I would challenge you that you look at your life. I would challenge you that you think about those things that you're facing in your life, the crossroads that perhaps you feel yourself at, and ask yourself, am I not receiving because I'm not humble? If I'm not humble enough, why? Am I not giving myself to what the Lord wants me to do? I believe that the Lord has such great things for us, such wonderful things in store for us. We can't even comprehend them. The blessings that he has for us in our personal lives, as a church. There's no guarantee that all of us are going to get those things, though. Unless we follow these things. And so I would ask that you would contemplate these things, that you would hear the message that I feel so strongly the Lord put on my heart. And I appreciate your time. And I continue to pray that God will bless you individually and here in our local and as a church. Thank you.